Today's daf is Erevin daf Ayin Vav. Erevin Ayin Vav, and we are on Ayin Hey Amid Beis, the last section of the sixth parak here in Erevin, as we move towards the seventh parak in this Masechta of ten parakim. This Masechta of, so if you're keeping track on the calendar, goes almost till the end of June. Almost to the end of June, we have our our wonderful Masechta of Erevin. Okay, so we are on Ayin Hey Amid Beis, Amar Rabbi Elazar. So we are talking, if you remember, about the halach and the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, this last Mishnah in our parak, says that if there is a single individual, if there's a yachid inside and in the inner chatzer, that he does not aser. Does not aser, because the idea of the rite of passage being a problem, and we had the three-way machlokas tana'im yesterday. Is it only regal ha'oseres that's a problem? Is it not even the regal ha'oseres? Or is it, as Rabbi Akiva says, even regal ha'muteres b'mkoma, asa shlo b'mkoma? So the Mishnah said, but if the inner chatzar only has one person in it, no problem. So we had a machlokas yesterday at the end of the shiur. What happens if you have one person in and two people out? Are we gozer that if you allow that, then you might come to allow even if two people are inside and one person on the outside? That was a machlokas. Shmuel was mekel, and someone was machmir. Why do I say someone? Because it was a different question about the deos. Was it Rebbe, which we really said should be pronounced Rabbi, because Rav Yosef got mixed up with the word Rabbi and Rabim, or do we say that it was Rav Ada Bar Ahava? Okay, either way, now we're up to the next section. Amar Rabbi Elazar. V'nachri harayuka rabim. If there is a non-Jew in that chatzar, he's treated like a rabim. We don't say, oh, he's one singular individual. He is treated like a rabbim. Again, one non-Jew in the inner chatzer and two Jews in the outer chatzer. That asers until one is socher rishus from him. Rashi points out that this is only aliba de Shmuel. Right? Because according to Rav Ada, that even a Yisrael asers. Right? If it's one and two. Right? Because we're gozer in that direction. But according to Shmuel, who says we don't usually make a gzera. If you have one Jew living in the inner chatzer and two in the outer chatzer, that's mutter. There's no need. But when it comes to a Nachri, we are. So they ask the Gemara, why? Maishna Yisrael Dilo Asar. Why do we say the Jew is not Oser inside? Why? Demandi Yada Yada. Because the one who knows that he is a singular individual in there knows that he is. And therefore, everybody knows that he's a regal hamuteres bimkoma, so it's not a problem. Uman delo yad, and if somebody doesn't know that he's the only one living in the inner chatzer, saver yeruve iriv, he will think that, you know what, an erev must have been done. It's a Jew, must have been other Jews there, and he'll think that an erev was done. So there's no churva that might come out of it. And Nachri Nami asked the Gemara, if that's true, then why a non-Jew too? Amrinan de yada yada, why don't we say that according to the one who knows that he's the only one inside, knows that he's only one person, and therefore it's not a regular oseres. And delo yada, if somebody does not know that he's the only one, and they think that there are others that live with him, savar agiri ogir. So why can't it be that people will think and realize that he was so cherishus? So what's the problem? What's the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew living in the inner chatzer? So the Gemara answers now, stam nachri, by a nachri, I isa, the ogur mifa pai. Right? If he had rented out the rishus, he would have talked, he would have spoken, he would have let everybody know. And the fact that he didn't, so that's why it's going to cause problems. Again, because there's one nachri in there. If people don't realize that he is the only one that's living there, they'll think there are more. They won't hear about the rental, about the schiris rishus, so they'll come out and say, oh, I guess if you have a bunch of people, you don't have to be socher rishus, and it will lead to a problem of marasayin or other types of problems of people not following the halacha. Okay, so that's the halacha, that a non-Jew is mifapoi. This, if you see on the side, this comes up in other places in Shas as well, the concept of a non-Jew being mifapoi. He's always spreading, he's always talking, he's always schmoozing. So that's why you could assume that he is, would publicize the act of rental. Where does mifapoi come up? We know it from Shifra and Pua. No, from Bracious. That's up from the beginning of Shmos. That's where it comes up that they were poa es havlad. What does that mean? Ba 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 ba. They make the baby talk. They bang the baby on the back and make the baby talk. So that's an interesting connection to hear, because that type of talking is just just saying words, not even words, making sounds that don't really mean anything. It's just a baby blabbering, right? So that's similar to the concept here, that it's just that sometimes people just talk without focusing on what they're saying. If you mention, once that comes up, it's always nice to mention the Rav Yeruchim that we have on that Rashi in Shmos, where Rav Yeruchim says, isn't it interesting that the Torah chose not to mention the names of Miriam and Yocheved? You would have thought, beautiful names, and yet the Torah says Shifra and Pua. Why? Why is that so significant that Pua, as we just had, Mifapoi, right, that they're Poa Esavlad, why is that so important? Rashi says there in the 15th Pasuk in Sefer Shmos, Shifra Zu Yocheved, Al Shem Shemishaperes Esavlad, Poa Zu Miriam, Al Shem Shepoe Umidaberes. Right, and even the mother makes sound, ba 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 poes of Vlad, Fahogel of Vlad, Kederach Anoshim, Amaphaisus Tina Kaboche. Why is that so significant? Says Rav Yeruchim. So one answer that he does not say, other Mefarshim suggest, and that is, there can't be a name in Sefer Shmos before Moshe. There's never a name. That's why Moshe's parents aren't even mentioned by name. Moshe has to be the first name in Sefer Shmos. Okay, that's one derech. Another idea, though, that Rabbi Yeruchim says, "Lo nitzkru klal b'shmoseim shenikru ad achshav, ela nitzkru kam b'shemos miyuchadim." Hinei yitachin, why? Ve'efshar de'bedvarim ketanim, va'afilu bedvarim achi ketan tanim, kamo eile b'shibur pius tinokim, shehu mi'adrachim asher nashem osos tamid, ve'hem bazeh zachu li'kari b'shemos. Says Rabbi Yeruchim, the way that we have expressed it before, great people take little things and make them great. Little people take even great things and make them little. Meaning you could have an unbelievable action, unbelievable sheer, unbelievable moment, but if somebody is not an inspired person, they could drag down that amazing event and with a little leitzanis and with a little scoffing make it nothing. A little person can take something amazing and make it nothing and just it'll slide off. But a great person will take something small, something insignificant, and they'd make it great. They'd make it great. And that's what they did here. What are they doing? They're just bah-bah. They're just doing nothing to the baby. But they take that action and they view it as, this is what I have to do to save Klal Yisrael. This is what I have to do to keep the next generation going. Right? That's Shifra and Pua. Right? The message being for us that we have to take every little aspect of Avodas Hashem and make it great. I might have quoted in the past, I was once in a shul, 20 years ago, on the day before Rosh Chodesh Sivan. The day before Rosh Chodesh Sivan, I was in the shul for Mincha Ma'ariv. And after Mincha, the rabbi gets up, and I thought he was going to give it to our Torah. And he gets up, and he says, okay, as we do every year, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, he's holding up the Yala V'Yavo thing that slides in front of the Chazan. The Yala V'Yavo marker, card. He says, we're about to start Rosh Chodesh Sivan, the month of Kabbalah HaTorah. Who would like the schus of sliding in the Yala V'Yavo card before in front of the Chazan? And I'm sitting there, I'm like, is he for real? Right, this is, you're gonna sell the sliding in of the Yala V'Yavo? $500. $500! This is a Kabbalah Satorah, we're all gonna focus and remember that it's for Chodesh Sivan, they came to Midbar Sinai today. He exactly was Bekai in this Rav Yeruchim. He took something small, something insignificant, something tiny. Now, many Rabbanim out there might be thinking, oh, this is a great tool, feel free. It's not mine, I saw it somewhere. And that's Rav Yeruchim, right? Shifra and Pua taking something small and insignificant and making it amazing. That's what Rav Yeruchim continues. Ki ein bebriya, lo dvarim ketanim, velo dvarim gedolim, ela hakol talui b'ha'adam. Ha'adam ha'gadol, hu ha'holich v'nosei alumos shel gadlus, me ha'dvarim ha'chik tanim. U ha'adam ha'katan, gam ha'dvarim ha'yoser ramim ba'atzmam, mishavim b'yadav l'refesh v'ashpatot. Right, you can drag it down. We all know that the power of late sun is to break it down, but we know the power of bringing something up. Right, and that's Rav Yeruchim. One other point, once we're talking about talking, mifapoi, we're talking about a low level type of talking. There is a Rambam that I mentioned a couple of months ago, in a Parsha Shir. The Rambam discusses, very important Rambam, in the first parak of Pirkei Avos. The Rambam says, there are five categories of speech in life. Every single sentence that we say could fit into one of five categories. And the goal of life is to try to fill up certain categories and try to have other categories pretty empty. The Rambam says, category one, some of them are more pretty clear. Hachelek HaRishon, this is on the Mishnah, of Ela Matzasi, the Guf Tov, Ela Shtika. Category one, says the Rambam, is Hachelek HaRishon, who? HaMitzuvebo. Who? Kriyas HaTorah, Velimuda. Category one is commanded, meaning mitzvahs, Torah, right, brachos. That's category one. Category two is the opposite. It's usur. Anything that's usur. Eidus sheker, rechilus, lashon hara, klalos, right, nivel peh, right, that's clearly mitzvah and clearly usur. So those two are two categories. The fifth category, let's skip for a minute, is what the Rambam calls rishus, what we would call needed. Needed, you know, talking to your wife about going shopping, you know, who's picking up the kids with the carpool. You know, I'm part of life, so there's certain words and sentences that I have to say because I'm a member of society. Certain business discussions, what's for dinner tonight? That's not a mitzvah, that's not an avera, that's just there. It's rishus, it's voluntary, it's what you need. Einenu lo ratzui v'lo meruchak. Ela im ratza rashoy lo daber bo kama shiur tzav im ratza yishtok. That's category five. And what about category three and four? Says the Rambam. Three and four. Category three is not needed, but what we would call schmoozing. Sports is category three. You know, current events is category three. You know, something that Judiber Sheinbo Toelas La Adam Atzmo, who on Rov Sipure Hahamonim, Ma'ira Umahaya, people talk about what happened, what's going on, how's the family, Heichen Hisnagus Belakploni Barmono, what do you think of this king, what do you think of that government? Right, that's category three, which also is needed. Everybody has some category three. And then category four is gray area, not the best type of speech. Meaning it's not mamish nivel peh, but it's, you know, something that, I skipped. Category three is stam schmoozing, and that might include, you know, not always perfect, you know, contents. And category four is the opposite on the good side, hu haratsui. It's not mitzvos. It's not brachos, but it's valuable conversations. It's about science, the Rambam Lishitaso says. It's logic, maybe secular philosophy, you know, category four. So everybody in life has, everything has to be in one of these categories. We have to make sure that we fit as much as we can into categories one and four. Five, we need two. But again, this is the Rambam. Everything we say, and you put it into this perspective, it gives a value to every single word that comes out of our mouth. I'm like, okay, what category is that? You know, which type of speech is that? Right? There's nothing that just slips by that is not in any category. To make sure that we fit in as much as we can to the proper categories. One final point related to Mifapai, the Pischei Tshuva quotes this. Where? In Hilchos Yichud. Hilchos Yichud, we know there are various halachas relating to Hilchos Yichud. Is one siman in Eved Ezer. In Siman Chabez, very important halachas. Some Daraisa, some Darabanan. But as we know, the halacha is in a Yichud situation. A man and a woman are not allowed to be in seclusion together. But what are the rules? What's mutter? The Shulchan Aruch says, Lo tisyachid isha achas afilu im anashim harbe. Ad shetiyeh ishto shalechem meyem sham. One woman is a problem. One woman and two men is a problem. Maybe one woman and three men is okay. If one of them is her husband, maybe even less. V'chein lo yizachid ish echadem afilu nashem arbe. V'yesh omrim, and this lamaisa what we hold says the Ramah, di isha achas misyachedes im shnei anashim ksherim im hu ba'ir, v'stam anashim ksherim heim. Avel himein prutzim afilu im yud asur. And it talks about v'ir, basada, right? There's different halachas between, is it at night? Is it during the day? Are they kshirim? Are they prutzim? But there, the Pischei Tshuva quotes, what if they're non-Jews? Do you say, mifa pa'i? Do you say, well, if they're going to talk about it afterwards, then there's different halachas. He says, avalim aravi, echad aravi, leslanba, mishum da aravi, mifa pa'i. Right? He quotes our Gemara. That he talks, and therefore, there could be, on the one hand, more flexibility because he's going to talk afterwards, therefore he's going to not do, violate anything earlier, but on the other hand, he is, it's somebody who's considered a paritz, and therefore he would have higher standards that are needed. But either way, the Nosei Kalim on the Shulchan Aruch here in Eben Ezer quote how mitfapoi would affect Hilchas Yichud. Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara, there's a lot of Hilchas Yichud to talk about, but and the Maseches Kiddushin is where the major sugyas come up. Let's continue now. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, about 6 lines up from the bottom. Yud batim zelifnim mizeh. What happens if you have 10 houses? 10 houses, each one opens up into the next one, and the outer one opens up into the chatzer. Only one of them gets into the chatzer. So yud batim zelifnim mizeh. Pnimi, and there are other houses that open up into the chatzer on the other side of the chatzer. But there are 10 on the, let's say, east side of the chatzer, each going in. The question is, do all 10 of them have to take part in the Eruv? That's the question. So, Pnimi, Nosei, Nesei, Ruva, Vadayu. Shmuel says, only the inner one, the furthest one away from the chatzer, the most inner one has to contribute. Why? Because all of the ones that he has to walk through in order to get to the chatzer are considered his base sha'ar, his gatehouse, and as we had earlier, gatehouses are not required to take part in the Eruv. So that is Shmuel. Reb Yochanan Amar Afilu Chitzon. No, even the outer one has to take part in the Eruv. Chitzon Beis Sharu, the outer one, the one that's closest to the Chaser, that surely shouldn't need. That's a Beis Shar. So the Gemara said, no, Chitzon Shel Pnimi. It means the second one in. Meaning not only the furthest one from the Chaser, but the second one also. Why? But my commitment, what's the machlokas of Yochanan and Shmuel? Mar Savar Beis Shar Di Yochid Shmei Beis Shar. Shmuel holds that even a Beis Shar of a single individual house has the status of a Beis Shar, and therefore even the second one is the number 2 through 10 are not needed to take part. They're halachically considered gatehouses to the inner one, and therefore they do not have to participate in the Eruv. Umar Savar Lo Shmei Beis Shar. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Beis Shar has to be to a Rabim, not just to a Yachid. A gate is only not to a singular individual house. That is why at least the first two have to take part, and then the third one is considered a Beis Shar all the way until the end. Period. Case 1. We're going to have 3 or 4 cases that are somewhat similar. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Abu, Amar Rav. Beis Chatzeros, V'gimel Batim Beinehem. What if you have 3 houses in a row? 3 houses, again, they're all connected through, let's say, windows. 3 houses, on the outside of the outer houses are chatzeros, yards. So you have yard, house, yard. So again, the question is, how do you create an Eruv in this situation? Zeh baderech zeh, v'nosein eruvo bazeh, v'zeh baderech zeh, v'nosein eruvo bazeh. Look what can happen. Each, let's say you have house A, B, and C. House A can put the Eruv into house C. House C could put the, I'm sorry, people in the Chatzer could go through the outer house and put the Eruv into the inner house, the middle one. That's what's talking about in this case. Remember, you have other houses in the Chatzer besides these 3. So the people outside could walk through the houses that are touching the Chatzer and put the Eruv in the middle. And zeh na'aseh beis shar lazeh, zeh na'aseh beis shar lazeh. Each of the outer houses are considered a beis shar to the other individuals. And emsoi havelei bayis sheminichan bo eruv. And the middle one is fine. That's the one that you're putting the eruv in. And as we have said, vein sarach litein es hapas. Where the eruv is, that house does not have to even contribute to the eruv. So again, if you have these 3 houses in a row, everybody else could put the eruv, walk through, and put it in the middle house. The 2 outer ones do not have to contribute because they're considered passageways, gateways for the outer people, for the people in the other batim. And the inner one doesn't have to contribute because that's where the eruv is. There is a machlokes rishonim here. Tosfos here says on top, you don't even have to put it in the middle house. Even if you would put it in one of the side houses, that also is okay because they could walk through and use it as a beis shar. Not all Rishonim agree with that. The Ran argues with that, but that is the Tosfos on top. Nireh, da'afilu yitznu ha'erev be'echad abadam asmuchim l'chatzeros, o afilu be'echad mi'badei chatzeros into one of the other houses. Elu gimo abatim ein srichin litin erev. They don't have to give. De na'asu kulam beis shar. they are halachically considered a beishar to the outside, to the chatzer. And therefore, even though the Gemara gives the more simple case of putting it into the middle house, one is not required to do that. Good, that is case number two. Badik lehu rechava l'rabbanan. A third case. Rechava tested the rabbis with the following case. Beis chatzeros ubeis batim b'nehem. What if you don't have two houses in the middle, you only have three houses. You have two houses next to each other in the middle, and you have chatzeros on the side. So, ze ba derech ze v'nasen eruvo bazeh, v'ze ba derech ze v'nasen eruvo bazeh, kanu eruv, olo. Question mark. The case of three, that was more straightforward, because each of the people living in the chatzer, they can walk through one house and put it in the middle house. But what about this case? What if there are only two houses there? Walking through one and putting it into the other one, and the people from the other side are walking through one and putting it into the other one. So for each side, the opposite house is a beishar, and the opposite house is the place where the Erev is. Does that work? Could you have in the same chatzer a house wearing two hats, if we could say that, right? Wearing the beishar hat and the bayis shemunach bo Erev hat? Does that work? Mi mashvi lehu lagabe dahai bayis ulagabe dahai beishar. Let's say from the eastern side. The eastern side, the house they come first to is a beis sha'ar, and the second house that's further away is the house where the Erev is. But the other people are walking through, and it'll be opposite. Ulagabe dahai beis sha'ar, ulagabe dahai bayis. Does that work? So the Gemara says, no, that does not work. Amrule shnein lo kanu Erev. Right, one house cannot wear two hats in the same chatzer. Why? Manavshach. There's a problem here. E beis sha'ar mashvisle. If you're making a house into a beis sha'ar, so then fine. Hanosene se ruvo be beis sha'ar achsadra umerpeses eino erev. If you use it as a beis sha'ar, you can't put an erev in there as a house. It can't be a gatehouse and a house. So therefore, if you use it as a beis sha'ar for one chatzer, then the other chatzer cannot use it to put their Erev in. Im bayis mashvislei, and if you say that it's being called a house for the other chatzer, kametalta labayis de lomarivlei, then you're going through a house that did not take part in the Erev. And there's a hefsek between where your Erev is and where you are. And therefore, that would also be a problem. So again, that is the halacha, that you wouldn't be able to have this case work, where you only have two houses, because the house would have to be a bias for one side of the one chatzer, and a beishar to the other side of the chatzer, and that cannot be done, and that's lamaisa, what we say in Shulchan Aruch. One wouldn't be able to take part in it. Rabbi Akiva Eger in the Tshuvas asks here, you can't take part in this, you can't have the bias and the beishar. The whole issue here, this harkens back to what we discussed back in the third parak and earlier. What's the whole isser here? Let's say, having a house in between that didn't take part in the Erev. That's an isser d'rabbanan. Right? The whole thing, remember, is rishus ha'yachid. It's an isser d'rabbanan to go through. It's an isser d'rabbanan. So why don't we say in all these cases, as we said earlier, if it's only an isser d'rabbanan at bein hashmashos, then it's mutter. Remember we had earlier, if your Erev is up in the tree, if all you have to violate is an issa d'rabbanan to get up there of hishtamshus be'ilon, so the Gemara said, at least according to Rebbe, according to one opinion, lo gazra lo bein hashmashus, and then your Erev is okay. So here too, ask Rebbe Akiva Eger in the Tshuvas and Siman Yudalid, what's the difference between the issa d'rabbanan of having to climb a tree during bein hashmashus and the issa d'rabbanan here of having to go through a house which did not take part in your Erev? Says Rebbe Akiva Eger, one line. External versus inherent. Is this an external side problem that you have? Then we would say, it's an issa d'rabbanan, you can forego, you don't have to worry about that issa d'rabbanan. But here, it's an inherent problem. The issue that we're dealing with is Erev. Your issa d'rabbanan is that you do not set your Erev properly. That's not going to work during bein hashmashos. This is the issue that you're trying to solve. If you have a separate issur d'rabbanan about climbing a tree, has nothing inherently to do with Erev. So that's why we could say, okay, Rebbe would say, lo gazra lo bein hashmashos. But says Rebbe Akiva Eger, if it's an Erev issue, that's an issur d'rabbanan because of Erev, then you don't just say forget that. That's what we're trying to solve here, says Rebbe Akiva Eger right here. Dafka be'ilon, after Isser Shabbos, Ravai Alei, Mikol Makom, Mashanu Bano, Lestakin, Isser Hotzah, Einu Ma'uka, by the Isser Hotzah, the Shabbos, Rakai the Isser Ein Olin, Vahavi Kibizek, Kamo Isser Dabar Acher, Goram Lo. Avo Biahi, the So Parak Hador, the Ha'ikov Machmas Isser Tiltol, Mi Bias Labias below Erev, Imkain, Osoha Isser Ba'atzmo, Shebano Lestakin, Ma'uka, Machmas Oso Isser Atzmo, and therefore it's inherent, and therefore you can't just forego these Isserei Drabbanan. This is an important Rebbe Kiva Eger. Different types of Isurim Drabbanan. Separate Isurim that have nothing to do with the case at hand that would be allowed to ignore during Ben HaShemashas versus cases that are having to do with Erev here. We quoted an Oda B'Yehuda yesterday about people coming from outside the Erev and ruining, and we said why that doesn't work. So right after that, two Tshuvas later, he has another important discussion relating to Ardaf, and that is, what happens, right? What are we talking about here? If you have a hefsek, you have a break between the problem here of using the house in the, as a beishar, let's say from the vantage point of one chatzer, you have to go through, but if that's a house, and that first house didn't appear in the Erev, you have a hefsek between your Erev and the place where you are. So he has another tshuva about that. Asher Sha'al, a certain Rav called him up and asked him. Didn't call him up, wrote to him. B'nei Yair, Nefotzim, B'dirasim, you just moved into a new community, and people live all over the city, and they people have little Eruvs in all of the Chatzeros, in the pockets of the city. Sounds like there were certain Eruvs there. It does not quote what the city was. V'Yair B'chlala, Ein Baheter Tiltol Shabbos. There is no one large Eruv around the whole city. It's just that people have different Eruvs in the pockets. She'ein Shom Tikune Mavos. U'Bebeis HaKnesses, but in the shul, every Pesach, they put the Erev Chatzeres for the whole town. Ve'emem Metaltzelim, B'kol Chatzer V'Chatzer, Habali Batim, Adarim, B'Chatzer Ahu, Ve'enem Anichim Erev Chatzeres, in their own place. Ki Somchin Al Ha'erev Sh'Bebeis HaKnesses. There's one Erev put in the shul, and everybody relies on that one, even though there's no one big Erev for the community. They just have their own pockets. They ask the Rav to know the Behuda. Is this wrong? I think it's wrong. Because there's a hefsek between where the Erev is and where we are. Is that what our Gemara says? You have the house in the middle. Is that a problem? Umalato micha bahem. And said the Noda Behuda, you Rabbi, you started screaming at them. Kivin she'en lam heter tilto mi beis haknesses. Sheshama ha'erev lachatz roseyim. Imkein munach ha'erev b'makom she'ef shalav yom yisham lam koman. V'ha'am einam makablim dvarav. Nobody's listening to you. V'yeragnu ba'ahaleihem. To quote a pasuk in Dvarim, Ba'amram ki amori harosh shahayusham mikodem itiru lahem. Oh yeah, you new rabbi. All the previous rabbis said it was okay. You know, what are you coming in and bringing in your newfangled chumras? So says the Noda Behuda, it's not a newfangled chumra, it's a halacha, and it's a big problem. And you have to try to help them not rely on this and have them set their own eruvs in each of their chatzeros. He says, can I find a tzad la hakel, what the earlier rabbis must have relied upon? He finds an Evan Ozer that says, maybe it's only an Issa Drabbanan to get to the eruv, so therefore, look, Ozer Ben Ashmashas. Exactly what Rabbi Kivager said you shouldn't rely on, that Issa Drabbanan. But he says, oh, maybe they rely on the question of Rabbi Kivager. He doesn't say it in those ways. But that's another view, but he says, la maisa, it's a problem. And therefore, it should not be done. Okay, another important tshuva of the Noda Behuda. We continue. Says the Gemara. So we just said the case of two houses doesn't work. Umayshna mi de Rava. But why is that different than Rava? Why? We machmir here and it's different than Rava. Dama Rava. Rava says, Amrulo. We have this back in Masechah Shabbos. Amrulo shnayim. Tsev arev aleinu. Two people tell shlichim to go make an eriv for them. La'echad irev alav mibod yom, ula'echad irev alav ben ashmashas. To one of them, they set the Erev before sunset. Fine. And the other one, they didn't get to. They only set it during ben ashmashas, during twilight. Zesh irev alav mibod yom, and the one that it was set properly, ne'echad irev alav ben ashmashas. But that Erev got eaten up during ben ashmashas. But the one that had it there, ben ashmashas, it stayed till the night and then was destroyed. So in both cases, there's a suffix. There's a suffix. You don't know if the Erev was there when Shabbos started. Both of them have the suffix. Shneim kanu Erev. So Rava says, it both works. Suffix lahakel. In both these cases, to ask the Gemara, if over here we're allowed to be mako, so why by the earlier case are we not allowed to be mako? Either by the house case, why can't a house function as both? So the Gemara says, wait a minute. Hachiyashta, wait a minute. Hasam over there. Safik yamama, safik lelya, lo minkara milsa. Over there. Safik yom, safik laila. Benash mashas. So there's nothing glaring that, as Rashi says, will make people look at the rabbi's rules as a joke. There's nothing glaring there. It's a safik. You're not sure if this is day or night. And therefore, we understand it's a safik, and you could go lekula in opposite directions. Aval hacha, ida lagabe dahai bias, lagabe dahai bias, ida lagabe dahai beishar, lagabe dahai nami beishar. You can't mix and match. People in one chatzer know that this is their beishar, and this is their house. So they see people from the other chatzer putting their erev into their beishar, it's a joke. They're going to say, is this a beishar or is this a house? People are going to say, oh, the whole thing doesn't make sense. It's a chucha v'tzlula. As Rashi says, it's a joke, and therefore, it cannot be relied upon. The Achronim say, what's this issue, this machlokas between Rava and the Gemara's question, the Gemara's answer? The question is, when you say the principle of Safik Durabanan Lakula, you're allowed to be makel by a Durabanan, are you allowed to say that even in a case of Tarti Tisasri? In a case where there's inner contradiction going in both directions. Meaning if you say, this is one, then you have to say, this is the other, right? Cases, we have cases of Tarti Tisasri all over Shas, mostly on a Daraisa level, right? You have two people that walk down two different paths. You know there's Tumah on one of the paths, but they come separately, you ought to be Mekel in both cases. And so, right, the case of Shnei Shvilin, the Mishnah in Seder Taras. But either way, that's the how the Achronim formulate this question and answer. Does Safik Drabbanan Lakula allow you to even have a Tarti Tisasri, an inner contradiction? Period. One final point relating to Bein Hashmashas. Just to mention it, there is a big discussion about how to view Bein Hashmashas. We don't have time to do it right now. We'll see at the end if we have more time. But Bein Hashmashas, we know it's Safik Yom Safik Laila. Is that a practical Safik? Like, you're not sure which it is. Or is it what we would call a Din Safik? Meaning, inherently, it has elements of day and night. And betores vadai, it is a time period of suffix, if that makes sense. Right? That is what the language that the Achronim pick up on, the Ritva in Yuma, on Daf, Mem Zayin, says the Ritva there, he says, Lefishu nidon, kisafik bein ashmashos, sheyesh bo min hayom u min halayla. He doesn't say it's either or. He says it has elements of both. So that one line in the Ritva, in Yuman, Daf Mem Zayin, all the Achronim pick up on it and say, oh, Bein Hashmashas is not just a practical suffix, you're not sure. It's a din suffix, Betores Vada. And there are nafkaminas, but not for now. So Adon Olach Adar, so we continue now in the seventh parak. So at the beginning of the seventh parak starts discussing, once we're talking about Erev, we mentioned Erev Chatzeros are all of these next prakim talk all about Erev Chatzeros, right? The 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th parak. So now, the 7th parak discusses when do you have two Chatzeros next to each other? When must they be viewed as one? When can they be viewed as one? And when can they not be viewed as one? It all depends on the separation between them. So, chalon shebein shei chatzeros. If you have a big window between 2 yards, dalet al dalet betoch hasara, it's 4 by 4, that's within 10 tefachim of the ground. Ma'arvin shnayim, v'yimratzu ma'arvin echad. So in that circumstance, they can make their own Erev, or they can join into one big Erev. Because they are semi-connected. Pachos b'dalet al dalet. But if the window is a smaller opening, olam ma'alo miyud, or the whole thing is above 10 tfachim, and above, once you reach 10 tfachim, that's a halacha mechitza, marvin shnayim v'marvin echad. Then you have to be a mariv too, because you don't have a window that would be ma'ached these people. Interesting, the Mishnah doesn't talk about a door. It only talks about a window. Would a door for sure, even if a door opens and closes, would a door for sure, then you could be marvin shnayim o echad? Or is the door worse if it's closed? Right, so that's an interesting discussion in the Mefarshim on Mefarshei Rashi, that it does not say Pesach here, it just says talking about the Chalon. Okay, so Leimatan, Sabak Rav Shimon Gamliel. Should we say our Mishnah is like Rav Shimon Gamliel? The Amar, who we had earlier, way back in the Masechta, the call Pachos Midalik Lovud Dami, we had the principle of Lovud. Earlier, Lovud means something's within 3 Tfachim, so it's as if it's connected. That's what we hold. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds 4. So is this Mishnah like Rav Shimon Gamliel? Because he says the opening, the window has to be 4 by 4. Somebody said, no, afilu teima k'rabanan. This isn't lavud. Ad kan lo pligi rabanan le'Rav Shimon Gamliel el alinyan levudin. The Rabbanan argue with Rav Shlomo Gamliel only regarding you have airspace and you want it to be viewed as connected. That's where they have a machlokas between 3 and 4. Aval inyan pischa, but here you're talking about what is considered a significant opening. So that's not the exactly same thing. Afil Rabbanan modu tiika dalar al dalar chashiv ilo lo chashiv. So even the Rabbanan can be moda that it depends on 4 and not 3. Good. Pachas bidal v'chulu. So if it's less than 4 or above 10, it is no good. It's not called an opening. Pshit, kiven da amar dal al dal b'toch asara, memela na yadana t'pachas bidal v'malo miyudlo. Obviously, if you say it has to be 4 by 4 within 10, so if you don't have that, it's no good. So hakamash b'lo, no. The chiddush is time at the kule l'malo miyud. The chiddush is that it's only a problem if the entire window is above 10 tefachim. Avol miksasu betoch yud. But even if a little bit is under 10, ma'arvin shnayim v'imratzu ma'arvin echad. You still have the choice as long as a little bit is under 10. Good. Tanina l'had the Tana Rabbanan, and this fits with the following. Kulo l'malo miyud. Kulo here means rubo. If most of it is above, o miksaso betoch asara, or kulo betoch yud, o miksaso l'malo miyud. If any part of it is under 10, even most or a little, ma'arvin shnayim, imratsu, ma'arvin echad. Either way, says the Gemara, hashta kulo l'malo miyud, o miksaso betoch yud, amart ma'arvin shnayim, imratsu ma'arvin echad. We said if just a little bit is within 10, you have a choice. So surely, if most of it is within 10, what's the chiddush? The answer is no chiddush. Zuv ein tzarach lomar zuk tani. You're right, the Mishnah first said the bigger chiddush, and then said the lesser chiddush. Okay, period. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, now we have to get on our math brains for a little bit. There are 3 or 4 places in Shatz where we talk about circles and squares. So here we go. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. What if the circle, if the window is circular? Right, so if it's square, it's got to be 4 by 4. But what if it's a circle? How big? So chalon agul tzarech sheyehe behakefo esrim va'arba tefachim. It's got to have a circumference of 24. Ushnayim umashu mehen betoch yud. And the bottom 2 tefachim. Question of the Rishonim. Does this mean the bottom 2 measuring vertically or the edge of the circumference of the circle? Some part of the circle has to be under 10. Shim yirab enu, because if you would then square it, nimsamashu bitoch yud, you'd have a little bit under yud. Fine. We're going to focus on the size of the circle. We're not going to focus on how much is under. The size of the circle, said Rabbi Yochanan, has to be a circumference of 24. So we're going to try to figure out how does a square of 4 by 4 translate into a circle with a circumference of 24. That's our job for the next 10 lines. So, Michdi, let's see. Kol, we know the rule is, as the Gemara says earlier, and in Sukkah, and kol sheyesh be'akeifa shalosha tefachim, yesh ba'barach ba'tefach, we know, even though we know from our math, you know, studies that pi is 3.14, that the circumference to the diameter is 3.1 to 3.14, diameter to circumference, the Gemara rounds off. The Gemara assumes 3. Okay, so 3. So if you have a circumference of 3, then you have a diameter of 1. So if that's true, so betracer sagi. So then 12 should be enough. You shouldn't need of 24. Because if you put a square in there, so the it's only 4. Remember, it's a 4 by 4 square. So times 4 by times 3, that's 12. So you should only need a circle with a circumference of 12, not of 24, right? The Havamina is that you're going by the one side of the square is the diameter of your circle, and therefore it should be 4 times 3 is 12. That's all you need. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. Hani mili pi'igula. The ratio of 3 to 3.14, 1 to 3 is in a perfect circle. You can't just automatically say the side of a square. Avo buribua bin antvei. No, you need more, right? We're dealing with a whole square. We're not just dealing with one line with a diameter. No, so you have to deal with the entire square. Somebody says, okay, michti, let's see. Kama maruba yetzer le'igol. If you have a square that's circumscribed around a circle, how much more area does the square have than the circle? Revia, a quarter more. So, if it's a quarter more, so we said, okay, 12 would be just the square. So add on a quarter more for the circle. So what does that equal? 16. B'shitzar sagi. So it should be a circle of 16 circumference should be enough. So why do we, again, jump to 24? So the Gemara said, no, wait. Hani mili igula denafik migo ribua. That math that you just described is only if you have the circle inside the square. Avol ribua de nafik mi goi gula. But if you have the square inside the circle, then the circle has to be bigger. Bina tveidi, bigger. Why? My time, misha mursha de karnasa. Because the corners of the square take up space in the circle. So the circle has to be bigger. So again, 16 is too small. That's why it's got to be bigger. So the Gemara persists and continues. Okay, but it's still not 24. Why? Michdi, let's see. Kol amsa beribua, every side of a square. Amsa v'tre chumshi balachsonia. If you have a square, what is the diagonal of a square? How do you figure that out? So it's 1 to 5.6. Right? If you have the math is amsa v'tre chumshi, 1 and 2 fifths. But if you do the math, it is, if you have a side of 4, then the diagonal is 5.6. So if the diagonal is 5.6, so b'shivsar nachi chumsha sagia. So then, if you times that, as we said, by 3, because of pi, so you get 16.8. 5.6 times 3 is 16.8. So, again, the side of the square is 4, the diagonal is 5.6, the diagonal is the diameter. So 5.6 times 3 gives you 16.8. That's still not 24. So we're still stuck. Why does Rabbi Yochanan require a circle of 24? So the Gemara answers, Rabbi Yochanan Amar ki daini te kesari, v'yamri la karabana te kesari. Rabbi Yochanan said his halacha according to the judges or the rabbis of Kesari, da amri, because they said as follows, igula migo ribua riva, if you have a circle within a square, so then the area extra of the circle is a quarter more, ribua migo igula palga, but if you have a square within a circle, they said that the circle is 1.5 more time, bigger than the area of the circumscribed square. And therefore, if you have inside, as we said, 16, so 1.5 more equals 24. And that's where Rabbi Yochanan required 24. Tosas here discusses the math doesn't really work according to what we know, according to scientific data. So why did Rabbi Yochanan say that according to these Dayanim? But that's what Tosfos discusses here. Feel free to look in here. Again, it's part of the larger discussion of science and modern mathematics with math. Feel free to look in the Rishonim here. Okay, continuing, two dots. Pachos midalad al dalad. That's the end of our math discussion. Amar Rav Nachman. So we mentioned, if it's less than 4 by 4 or above 10, doesn't work. Amar Rav Nachman, lo shonu ela chalon, shebein shtei chatzeros. These rules are only for a window between 2 yards. Aval chalon shebein shnei batim. But if you have a window between 2 connected houses, afilu l'malo me'asara. Even if the window is above 10, nami imratzu la'ari marvenecha. They still have the choice. What's the difference? Why 2 houses? My time, besa kamandamali dami. Because a house, you're allowed to view it as if it's filled up, and you could be able to stand higher up on the level. Why? You could bring over a chair. You have chairs in your house, right? You have tables in your house. You could stand up and reach the opening. So therefore, even if the opening is above 10, it is allowed to have, you're allowed to make one Erev, even if the window is above. Esvei Rav al Rav Nachman. There's more to say about that, but let's just finish this section. Esvei Rav al Rav Nachman. Echad li chalon shebein bechatzeros. Echad li chalon bein shebatim. It makes no difference of a window between 2 yards or 2 houses. Echad li chalon shebein shtei aliyos. Or between 2 upstairs apartments. Echad li chalon shebein beis gagin. Or between 2 roofs, a skylight. Echad li chalon shebein beis chadarim. Kulan dalal al dalal betoch hasara. Question mark. So you see from this statement of Rava that, and the Brisa, that it's, you don't make any differences between houses and yards. The Mara answers, Targama Achatzeros. No. He only meant that there's no difference and the rules apply to the windows between the Chatzeros. No, he said there's no difference whether it's this one or that one. No, Targama Adalad Adalad. That only meant for the requirement that it always has to be 4 by 4. But the requirement of being above 10 in houses is able to be above 10. Period. If you have a skylight that goes from the house to the upstairs, do you need a permanent ladder there in order to allow it to be viewed as one and to make an Erev? When we say that the house can be viewed as one and filled, with even if you have a high window. Hani mili min atzad. That's from the side. Why? Because most of your furniture is usually on the side of your house. So you can stand on your chair. You can look into the, get into the window. So usage. The language of Rabbeinu Yohanan is nicha tashmishte. Aval be'emsa lo. But in the middle of your room, how are you going to get to the skylight? How are you going to use that? So do you say that? And therefore you always need the ladder there. Odil maloshno. Or do you say, no, it makes no difference. Omar le, eino tzarech. You don't need the ladder. Savar mina sulam kavua hudeino tzarech asulam arai tzarech. They thought originally that you don't need a serious ladder, but you need a little dinky ladder at least. Itmar amrav Yosef, bar minyomi, amrav Nachman, echad sulam kavua, vechad sulam arai, eino tzarech. No, you don't need any kind of, ladder. The Meiri says here, even if a person has no furniture, because he could have a chair in the house, still that window could be mitzarif and put them together. We'll start by the Shem with tomorrow with a Chashuke Chemed and a Rav Moshe about halacha is getting back to yichud again. What if you have the ability to stand on a chair and look through the window into the next house? Is there an issur yichud in that house? There is a yichud in that house, so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about a big kula of Moshe Hashem in the coming days. Okay, we'll stop here. Again, those who are keeping track, Baruch Hashem, our building plan is moving. And again, anybody who wants to participate, we've reached the next stage of our building. Please feel free to go to the website, nofeyashemesh.com, nofeyashemesh.org. Feel free to take part in building a Mikdash Ma'ad here in Eretz Yisrael. The whole OU family is invited to join us. Thank you.